You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC and the KPECC app. Just want to remind you, tomorrow it's Film Week, and we have a particularly busy week for films, including The Climb, starring Michelangelo Covino, who also directed the film and co-wrote the screenplay with his co-star Kyle Marvin. We'll hear what our critics think of The Climb, and KPECC's John Horn actually interviews Covino as they conduct a bike ride up Glendora Mountain Road. That's going to be coming up on Film Week tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Also, Ron Howard and Vanessa Taylor's adaptation of J.D. Vance's book, Hillbilly Elegy, A Memoir of a Family and Culture in Crisis. Amy Adams, Glenn Close, Dylan Gage star in Hillbilly Elegy. So those are just two of many films. Very busy week on Film Week tomorrow at 11 o'clock. But as I mentioned, we look now at presidential pets, and Joe Biden and his wife Jill are bringing their two German shepherds to the White House, Champ and Major. President Trump, as I understand, is the first president in a century or more to not have a pet with the first family in the White House. To talk with us about how pets are subject to so much interest in presidential administrations is Andrew Hager, historian in residence at the Presidential Pet Museum, an online curation that started about three decades ago. Andrew, thank you for being with us.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
So why the public fascination with first pets?
I think part of it is just because Americans are animal lovers in general. I mean, there are studies showing that around two-thirds of American homes have dogs, and that's not even counting families with cats or birds or snakes. So just as a people, we love animals, and I think we love to see our politicians, our representatives share that love.
And what is in your online museum?
Well, you can find a lot of facts about the history of presidential pets, some of the exotic and strange animals that people have had, and really it'll give you an overview. I like to say that studying presidential pets can give you an overview of America's history of pets in general, you know, going from being more working animals in the late 18th century to the turn of the 20th century, where they became more companion animals. And now with Biden having the first shelter dog to go to the White House, you can see another cultural shift, as that's been a movement over the last several decades for people not to use puppy mills and breeders, but rather to adopt their animals. So we can see our leaders kind of following American trends as you go through the history.
All right. If you have questions about first pets, we're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Of course, we have Richard Nixon's famous Checkers speech delivered in September of 1952 by then California U.S. Senator Richard Nixon, this before the 52 presidential election. And Nixon actually, you know, used his children's dog Checkers, which had been a gift, as a focal point of that speech. Is that one of the most famous examples of a politician's dog taking prominence?
I think that's the seminal example. I mean, it's actually considered that day in September is considered National Dogs in Politics Day.
And that's a thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, everything has a day now, right?
Of course.
But yeah, like Checkers saves Nixon's political career. Without Checkers, we don't get President Nixon 16 years later, or, you know, Watergate. So I'm not sure if we should be grateful to Checkers or if we should be a little irritated with Checkers. But the thing is, Checkers never actually becomes a White House pet. Unfortunately, the gap of 16 years between Nixon giving the Checkers speech and Nixon winning the White House, you know, Checkers just didn't, you know, that's a long time for a dog.
It should have been Checkers 2 or Checkers 3 or something, you know, paying homage to the original, given the centrality of Checkers.
Yeah, you know, you'd think the Nixons would have done it like the Simpsons or something, you know, but instead they had King Timahoe and Vicky and some other lovely dogs. Vicky's one of my favorites because she's Nixon's poodle, but we have a great picture of her the night before the resignation, you know, Nixon's sitting on this chair and she's curled up on the ottoman next to him. And you can just kind of think about what's on the man's mind and how he's, you know, seeking comfort from this pet in the same way that you or I would do, you know, when we have our bad days, which hopefully are never as bad as, you know, having to resign in front of the whole nation.
I'd forgotten about that photo. That, I mean, that's one that we've seen years after the resignation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite famous. And I actually think it humanizes Nixon even more than the Checkers speech does, because it seems less calculated and less overtly political. I mean, it's just a man in his private moment knowing that, you know, his future is very uncertain and everything he's worked on is in ashes. And, you know, so it's a very real and candid moment.
We're talking with historian in residence at the Presidential Pet Museum, Andrew Hager. It's an online curation that started about 30 years ago. I understand it started with a groomer for one of President Reagan's dogs?
Yes, her name was Claire McLean. She was a groomer of Bouvier de Flandre's dogs. And the Reagans had been given a puppy named Lucky, who was a Bouvier. And they brought in Ms. McLean to do the grooming. And apparently she got the idea to keep the hair as a souvenir after grooming the dog, and she began to use it in mixed media art paintings. And shortly after that, you know, her fascination with presidential pets grew and grew, and she created this museum out of her house, and you had lines of people around the block to get into her house. And, you know, she ran the museum for a couple of decades before, you know, she's much older now, and she decided it was time to transition the museum to somebody who was younger and could carry the torch on. And William Hellman is our current director. He kind of took over for Claire, but he doesn't have any mixed media dog hair paintings yet.
Julie in the Valley writes on our AirTalk page, Major Biden will be the first shelter dog in the White House. That's something to celebrate, whatever your political party. Can you confirm for us, Andrew, is that correct? This is the first adoptee from a shelter to be in the White House?
Yes. Major is not the first dog to be, quote unquote, rescued. LBJ's dog Yuki was found at a gas station and was rescued there and given to him as a gift. But this is the first dog that a president or a presidential family has actually gone to a rescue and adopted. So I agree that is something to celebrate. And I like that your listener pointed out that regardless of political party, this is something we can be happy about. That's one of the great things about presidential animals. You don't have to love Barack Obama to think his dogs are cute. You don't have to love George Bush to think Barney was cute. So we can kind of look past political divides when we see these animals.
Now, do dogs significantly outnumber cats in the White House, or is just we hear more about the dogs?
There have been significantly more dogs, yes. In fact, we didn't get a cat in the White House until Lincoln, although there had been dogs before that. And, you know, the last really prominent cat, I would say, was Sox. George W. Bush did have a cat, but India didn't quite get the attention that Sox did.
All right. In Michelle Obama's memoir, she wrote that their Portuguese water dogs had their own press schedules and photo ops as well. Is that common in presidential administrations for them to have that degree of visibility?
I think that's a more recent thing, but you can see now, like just looking at the Democratic campaign at the beginning of the year, you had several candidates, Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg, Beto O'Rourke, that had Instagram pages for their dogs or Twitter accounts for their dogs. The Biden dogs apparently already have Twitter accounts. I mean, you're seeing politicians kind of use these media tools to promote their animals, in part because, as I was saying earlier, it kind of bridges some ideological divides.
All right. Are there any less usual pets that we know presidents had or their families beyond the typical dogs and cats?
Yeah, there are a few that I like to always point out. One is that Martin Van Buren had tiger cubs for a brief time in the White House, but Congress made him get rid of those tiger cubs. He didn't get to keep them very long. I can only imagine being a congressman and trying to go to the president and you know, express your displeasure with a certain policy. And he's there petting his tiger cub like some sort of Bond villain. You know, it would be terrifying. But, you know, we also had Woodrow Wilson had sheep on the White House lawn because he his gardeners were going off to join the World War One effort. And so he got sheep to do the mowing and a ram, and he auctioned off their wool. The ram got addicted to chewing tobacco by eating the cigars that various reporters had left around the White House lawn. And that's certainly not normal for rams. And then I'll give one last example here. One of my favorites is Rebecca the raccoon, who belonged to the Coolidges. She had been sent to them as a Thanksgiving dinner by a supporter. But when they opened the box and saw this live raccoon, they couldn't bring themselves to, you know, bludgeon the raccoon and roast her. They decided to keep her as a pet instead.
Wow. So raccoon in the White House. And I don't know, did you mention Benjamin Harrison's pet?
Oh, I did not. There's another great unusual pet that Harrison had, two opossums, you know, and I don't remember both of their names. I know one was Mr. Reciprocity, which was named after a policy that he had at the time. And you see this sometimes, like Coolidge was gifted some lions from a foreign leader, I believe the king of Ethiopia, and he gave them to the zoo, but he named them like Tax Cut and Budget Bureau because, you know, he's trying to be kind of clever and show like, yeah, look at me, even my animals are named after my policies. You do have these sort of weird, again, presidents trying to use their animals to their political advantage.
And I don't mean to end on a downer, but I have to ask, are there any cases historically where presidents and first families were accused of not treating their pets very well, and that actually became an issue?
The most recent goes back to Lyndon Johnson. There's a famous picture of Lyndon Johnson picking up one of his beagles by the ears. And Johnson's smiling, and the dog is just, you know, there being picked up by the ears. But people were enraged by this. And, you know, Johnson didn't understand. He was just a man from West Texas in a very different generation who just thought like, oh, you know, this is what you do with animals. And he thought his dog liked it, is what he said. But I would urge any politician with a dog, please don't pick your dog up by the ears. It's bad optics, and it's also just, you know, being a bad person.
Well, and I remember Mitt Romney being criticized because their family dog was in a carrier on the roof of their car for a 12-hour trip, I believe it was. That was back in the early 80s. He took some heat for that.
I remember that, too. That was actually, surprisingly, quite a controversy during that campaign in 2012. And again, I think that's probably something that Romney, I don't think the Romneys would do that now. But again, it sort of shows the shift of how we think about animals and how that's changed over the last 30 years. Although, you know, even 30 years ago, you shouldn't have put your animal on the roof of the car for a 12-hour trip.
All right. Well, hey, Andrew, thank you so much. I really appreciate your talking with us about the Presidential Pet Museum, which is available online. We have a link to it on our AirTalk page. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Anytime.
I appreciate it. That's Andrew Hager, historian in residence for the Presidential Pet Museum, as President-elect Joe Biden and his wife Jill move into the White House. They'll be taking their German Shepherds Champ and Major with them. Joe Biden has been a shepherd guy for a very, very long time, even training shepherds in past years. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We have much more conversation to come on the program, including how Republicans are dealing with the ideological differences within their party. We'll be back in just 90 seconds.